deep in the Caribbean. Exploding Barrel Podcast for July 10th, 2009. This is me, Mike Minotti, joined by Agile Guys.
I'm back, everybody.
Yeah. Right? And hey, we got a huge cast today. We're also being joined by Regulus, MJ hey. Pylon, and Beige. Everyone say hi.
Hi.
What's going on?
Howdy.
Woo! Everyone having fun already?
Oh, part of time.
Wonderful.
Everybody's getting hyped.
Yeah, everyone. It's always fun time here at the Exploding Barrel Podcast, isn't it? All right, here's what we're doing today, everyone. We're going to start with the news, once again being held, being done by Atre. Shinogu did a great job, though.
He did. Yep. I actually haven't had the chance to listen to last week's show because I didn't have time. I listened to the one before, and it was great.
Yep, those young bloods are good. We're very close to getting our squawk box up, and they're first in line for new shiny new medals on their chest.
Oh, that's going to be good times.
Do I get a medal?
You're an old card, Mike.
No.
You don't get a medal.
Oh my god, no. I'm losing my shine.
You're getting too old for this shit.
Oh god. I'm not new and exciting anymore.
You don't focus group as well with the 20 to 18 demographic. You know.
Shit. Alright. After the news, we're going to do the year 2007, Game of the Year. We only got two more of these left.
I know.
Then we're done. And then we're going to cancel this show because we won't have anything else to do.
Shit.
No, not really.
Yeah, that's an amazing idea.
Yeah, that's great. No, this will be fun, though. 2007, that wasn't very long ago.
2007 is going to be pretty brutal.
Oh,
though.
God.
It is. That was a...
There were some heavy hitters.
There were, indeed.
All the things we're getting this year without the two.
Actually, you're right. You're going to be shocked how right you are.
Well, let's just make a list. We'll just go down informally.
All right. So then after that, we'll do the quiz inspired by 2007. Then we're going to do our weekend gaming. I know for me, my highlight is Monkey Island. There's going to be a lot of Monkey Island because we love it. Okay. Then we're going to do the game releases, and that'll be the whole show. All right, Asguy, what do you got?
Back in the saddle to report that the MechWarrior franchise is a rebooting. There was a little video clip that came on the internet today, and then it was confirmed. It's a new MechWarrior game being developed by the people who've made the Transformer video games.
So, the last one was supposedly not terrible. That's a bit of an obvious choice, though, isn't it?
You guys like giant robots?
Yeah. I mean, people are trying to excuse it by saying, you know, they're not confined to a movie release date and they'll have time to work on this. So,
yeah, sure.
You know, fingers crossed. In semi-related news, on Battletech.net, it's not up yet, but they're releasing MechWarrior 4 and its expansion for free. Which, that's very exciting.
Oh, I'm first in line.
Yeah, I never played the full games proper, but I played the demos.
Dude, whenever Lemmings was new, my friend and I spent so many weekends just up all night playing MechWarrior 2, whatever, what was it back in those days? The one that was built
on the big one.
Interstate 76 engine. Just shooting PC cannons at
people. I think that was 2, yeah. 2 was phenomenal, and Mercenaries, which is what the expansion is for 4 as well. So good. I'm very excited. Yeah.
And I'm sure I don't need to remind you guys how much I love games with completely awkward, unintuitive control schemes and horrible interfaces.
Yes.
And I'm going to be all over that.
I'm going to have my giant flight stick out and everything. It's going to be awesome.
if they have Chrome Hound-style party mechanics, you know that there's going to be a squadron base.
Oh, God.
Oh, hell yes.
I can only hope. I love MechWarrior. Okay. Since I've been gone for a while, let's bash on Sony a bit.
We took a couple weeks off.
Yes.
I was actually saying very nice things about them. But...
I know, you did. It was kind of annoying. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Okay. So
we lose listeners every time you do this.
I know. Okay, so,
Sony,
it's not so much I don't like Sony. It's just that their executives are comedy gold.
They're funny.
Okay, so Sony's Eric Lempel has claimed that they're no longer playing catch-up to Xbox Live. And here's what he says. At this stage of the game, when I really look at what PSN and the entire offering, I think we're in great shape. I don't think there's a lot of catch-up anymore. In some cases, I think we've got more. And we've got some of the things they don't have. You know, like text chat.
Well, I mean, they got some games.
A word to Sony. today, this week, I'm going to go down to the game store and buy BlazBlue, and I'm probably going to buy it on Xbox 360, despite the fact that I really, really, really want to buy it on PS3, just because I can talk to people.
And because I have the 360 version, and you need to play with me
and
so much.
This will be about the 10th game that Sony's lost me on, because I can't speak to someone.
Yeah, that's very
service.
True. So that's the biggest annoyance, is just their voice chatting.
Yeah, even like last night, I've been trying to get a hold of this guy on the phone all week because I think I'm living with him next year, but he's bad at returning calls.
It's his boyfriend. But then
anyway, but I was able to catch him on an Xbox Live party because he was playing Wolfenstein and I was playing Battlefield.
Wolfenstein 3D, right? Not like some new Wolfenstein.
The old one.
Yeah.
He's gay for that game. Anyway.
He's gay for you, too.
Probably.
Aha!
Yeah.
Well, it's just funny because everybody keeps saying that Sony needs to get their infrastructure up to the same level as Microsoft, but Sony doesn't even have an infrastructure.
Right.
The publishers are supposed to be in charge of that shit.
People bitch about paying for Xbox Live, but if that's what I get for my $50 a year, fine.
I've never questioned the $50 price tag on Xbox Live. I've been totally happy with the what I'm paying for it. I feel it's reasonable. I doubt I'd pay it twice over for an identical thing on PSN, but...
Yeah, that's a problem.
Damn it, Sony.
That is true. Okay, anyone else have an interest in Dragon Quest IX at all?
I guess. I mean, it's
a big
deal.
I'll play it, yeah, for sure.
Well, it only has one save slot.
Well, okay. You know what other gigantic portable gaming series only has one save slot per game?
Pokemon.
Right.
Okay. Well, okay, so the official company line on this is that, it's a huge save file, and there's actually two because they keep a backup going. So your battery doesn't die and you lose everything. But, I mean, let's face it. This and Pokemon is obviously a way to make sure you buy more than one copy per person.
And it's something like Dragon Quest IX, especially as hard as they say it is, that's a bit troublesome. Because you can get yourself in situations where you have a save game and you can't really recover from what you saved into.
Yeah, hopefully they designed
this
one
around
that.
But it's more like
real life. Oh, yeah.
Brother. I just realized why that's a big deal. Because I could care less about multiple save points until I realize that you guys are going to be passing it back and forth. Yes?
Yeah, that's traditionally what we do in something like this.
Well, yeah,
maybe. I don't know. We don't actually live together most of the year, but...
Well, I mean, yeah, but typically...
You'd beat it and then give it to me
like,
or something.
Like, yeah, like, I'll play, like, Final Fantasy VI Advance, and then you play it on that same cartridge. I mean, it's the same thing with Pokemon. That's why we always had to have different Pokemon games.
Yeah, it works.
I mean, yeah, it works for them. We're getting multiple copies, so, hey.
EA on Twitter accidentally announced Command & Conquer 4.
There's been a lot of, like, accidental game announcements on Twitter.
They've gone ahead and formally announced it.
At what point in time do we call BS on this? Because, the number
No, they
of
formally announced it.
No, I just mean the accidental Twitter leaks.
Oh, right. It's going to get to the point where companies, I think, will start shutting down their Twitter feeds if this keeps happening. But, not a whole lot announced about it.
Or we'll get wise to the fact that they're not accidental at all.
Yeah, it's just a marketing.
Yeah, that's true. This will come out in 2010. One of the big things is, like, there's some kind of persistence to the game online.
Destructoid used my Ric Flair picture again for their story image. Always makes me feel good.
Yes. Until August 2nd, GameStop is having a big summer sale, which is actually pretty exciting. The games on the list, these are all games on sale for $20. Bionic Commando, Wheelman, Hawks, Force Unleashed, Prince of Persia, End War, Cooking Mama, World Kitchen, and House of the Dead 2 and 3 Returns on the Wii. And then until, I think it's the 12th, they have the Guitar Hero World Tour Band Kits for 360 and Wii on sale for $90.
Those are some good deals.
Yeah,
you already took advantage of Bionic Commando.
Yeah, I had a $5 Best Buy gift card, so I had them price match it at Best Buy, and I got Bionic Commando for $15.
So worth it.
I know. It's totally worth it for $20, so I want you to go get it. The big, big exciting thing this week was that LucasArts games are now on Steam.
Woo!
Hell yeah.
And, among those games are such classics as Loom and the recently talked about Indiana Jones and the Fate of Atlantis. How good is that time?
And The Dig.
And The Dig.
Has anyone bought one of these adventure games yet? I wonder how they work, how they run on me.
Apparently they don't run on Macs.
No, yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, the files are all there, but ScumVM can't read them. And apparently it's not a DRM issue. I guess there's just some minor adjustments to the files that the ScumVM team said is like a 5-minute fix. But for now, they're not going to do it to kind of... They don't want to piss off anybody, I think.
Okay.
But, like, they're open to doing it. Also, I haven't played it, but I understand that the Dig is having some troubles right now, but they're fixing it.
Okay.
Well, but three of those have been squad missions in the past, so I'm happy to see a wider audience. Last time it was hard to get our hands in the goods.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's good to see, like, Armed and Dangerous is up there, Republic Commando, which we did as a mission. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very cool. I've been waiting for that to happen for a long time.
Come on, Gabriel Knight. That'll be the trifecta.
Someday. Battlefield 1943 is out this week, and their servers are hosed.
Surprise.
Once again, a company has managed to underestimate how popular their online-only game would be, and they don't have enough servers. They are working round the clock to get more.
What else
is new?
I don't know, man. It's more like they know that in a week things will stabilize, so why are they going to pitch to have twice as much physical hardware that'll never get used?
It's just that first impressions thing. Like, I've always said, like, every company should have, like, a bank of servers that they use just on launch days. Like, they could have those servers up for the first week of launch, and things stabilize, you take those offline and get them ready for the next game.
Makes sense to me. Anybody actually played it? I guess
we'll talk about it. All right. Also, starting tomorrow, they'll begin the count to 43 million to open up the Coral Island or Coral Reef map, one of the two. So basically, I don't know if it's between both platforms, but they're keeping track of every kill. Once 43 million total kills have been reached by all players, the third map will unlock.
Is that historically significant number?
Oh, it's 1943.
Right, okay. Yeah.
Summer of Arcade, last year's very successful Xbox Live Arcade marketing promotion.
Why didn't this just start with Battlefield?
Because you have Battlefield. Probably could have.
Yeah, Battlefield. You know, this week, and the next week you have Monkey Island, right?
Yeah, but it'll start the week after that. It'll kick off with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Turtles in Time Reshelled.
Oh, yes.
Then Marvel vs. Capcom 2.
Oh,
on the 29th.
Yes.
Explosion Man.
Yes! Wait, what's Explosion Man?
Some kind of old-school platformer.
Okay.
It's supposed to be pretty good. Trials HD, which is some kind of open-world racer. And then Shadow Complex.
Oh, hell yes.
I know.
I'm so excited for that.
Summer of Arcade is quickly becoming my favorite time of the year. I mean, last year was kind of a bust, but the year before that...
No, last year was Braid and Geometry Wars 2.
No, Braid was not.
It was like started out with Rez and just went from there. Yeah, it was a good time.
What was the first? What was 07 Summer of Arcade?
I don't think they did it in 07.
Was last year the first one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Because that was like Bionic Commando Rearm,
Geometry Wars.
Geometry Wars. Yeah, that was pretty intense.
Galaga, and there was one other.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty intense.
But yeah, and I find it funny because remember last year, all the ballyhoo made over Braid being $15 and all the other ones were $10 and everyone was freaking out. Now all of these are 15, except for Explosion Man, which is 10.
I don't know.
Funny how times change.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know why people were upset last year.
I don't know, man. After seeing Shadow Complex at E3, like, seriously, it was one of the games that I was the most excited about.
Right, like, who wouldn't pay...
press conferences.
Who wouldn't pay $20 for that?
Seriously, $15 is cheap for what I was expecting.
If Marvel's Capcom 2 for $15, you want to buy a used copy of that game for the Xbox or PS2, it's going to cost you
$60.
Like $60 or $70 or maybe even $80.
I'd love the
Dreamcast copies of that go for like almost $200.
Yeah.
Wait, what? I should sell mine.
I love the price point of a game which is not quite AAA, but is developed by AAA studios. It's like, you know, it's not your student project. But it isn't $60 either. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's a total niche that we didn't even know we needed until things started going digital distribution.
Right. If you do want something cheap, you can get Elder Scrolls 2 Daggerfall for free. To celebrate the 15th anniversary of the Elder Scrolls series, Bethesda has put it out there on their website.
Well, maybe you can go play this then.
I am going to. I downloaded that in DOSBox. Let's get into some gaming journalism goobly-guck. I just made that word up. GamePro reviewer has stolen text from the IGN UK review of Water Warfare, and he got fired for it. His name is Andrew Ramsey.
What?
Yeah. Of all the games, you're going to plagiarize the review of Water Warfare.
I guess he just didn't want to play it that bad.
Yeah, and like this all broke on NeoGAF. Some poster there was the first to notice it. And, I mean, there are times when he kind of just took like bulleted lists and things like that, but he straight up copy and pasted some stuff. And he tried to say he was using it as a reference point. He didn't mean anything by it, but I mean, he got fired.
Yeah.
And, of course, what cracks me up is people trying to defend it. It's plagiarism in professional journalism. That can't happen.
Yeah, nobody in this podcast would defend that bullshit.
You would think, oh, but... No. Oh, never mind. No, that's terrible. Shame on them.
I just find it funny. That's for the Wii game Water Warfare.
Is this like a spinoff of Modern Warfare?
No. It's a game where it has conventional weapons, but they all use water as ammunition.
Yeah.
It's family friendly. Like Green Blood.
Oh, so it's like Extreme Paintball.
Pretty much.
Except even more fail.
And one final fail. They showed on Twitter the box art for Modern Warfare 2, and shocker, it said Call of Duty on the box. After they said they weren't going to. And of course, Activision's like, no, we always said it would be on there.
No, they didn't have the balls.
Of course they said
that. Activision is saying that? They're saying that it was always going to be on there?
We've never denied that Modern Warfare 2 is a direct sequel to Call of Duty Modern Warfare.
Well,
no kidding.
On Kotaku with the headline, shit just got real.
Yeah. But seriously, there was that thing not too long ago. There was like a study. It was like a brand recognition study. They asked like people if they knew what Modern Warfare was and if they knew what Call of Duty was. And of course, Call of Duty was
right.
Like,
you
a
put
lot
that
more.
Slap that brand on the front of it, and you just increase your sales by 50%. I don't think they're gonna forget to put it on.
Right. I mean, and it's Activision. They weren't going to like not do something for the art.
Let's all have a laugh.
Okay. And, yeah, so there's the news.
All right, time for the year 2007. I almost said Sev, as if Sev was a number. Not a character.
He's a commando.
From Republic Commando. Okay. All right, so let's just start, I guess. I ruined the chance for a decent segue. The first is Assassin's Creed.
Getting a sequel this fall.
Mm-hmm. Yep, getting a sequel this fall.
That's kind one sequel.
Yeah, I'll keep track.
It kind of got beat up a bit by critics, but it should be noted that this was the most successful new IP of this generation that isn't some sort of casual Nintendo game.
That is very true, when you think about it.
It is. Definitely sales-wise, anyway.
Yeah, I can understand people's complaints of monotony in gameplay, but it was one of those games where it was almost just more fun to just dick around in the world and see where you could go.
Well, yeah, it was just kind of, it was an impressive game, and it definitely had some appeal.
I'm on the side of the fence for sure. I would defend Assassin's Creed. No, I wouldn't defend every design choice, but...
On the whole,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I would point out that I played it on the PC, and the PC version was a couple of months after the console releases, and they added a number of incidental missions to kind of break up the monotony a little bit. But... I think all in all, it's weird that it's hard to put my finger on it, but I remember Assassin's Creed being the first game that I played that actually felt next gen. It was the first time that I had ever sat down and played a game and been like seriously taken aback by how advanced it was.
Right, it was a game that really felt like it could not have been done like on the PS2.
Yeah. Although and a great premise that. Too. I mean, it's just. Nobody had ever tried making a game in the Holy Land before.
All right. Next up is BioShock.
Getting a sequel this fall?
Is it this fall? Do we know that yet? I guess we can assume.
It's like September, isn't it?
Oh, really?
I thought they said so, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, there's another one. BioShock, when in the early days of the Exploding Barrel podcast, which started in August of 2007, at the end of the year, we did our own Game of the Years, and this was my pick.
Probably should have been mine, too. I'll admit that now.
What was your number one? Oh, yeah, we'll get to it, yeah. But, no, but...
Yeah, I was waiting for you to rib on me for that, so that's why I just said it first.
But, I mean, it's kind of silly to sing the praises of BioShock at this point. I mean, I actually just played through it again not too long ago, and it's just such a beautiful game, such an immersive kind of game.
I'm going to take some shit for this, but I found myself not being as impressed by BioShock as I was hoping to be. And
really?
Yeah, and this is too bad, because, Ayn Rand, submergible city, plasmids, and atmosphere. Like, there's a lot to like there. But having played System Shock 2 once in my life, it's System Shock 2 underwater. And that really let me down.
I get that from a lot of people who really like System Shock 2. See, I'm not as familiar with System Shock 2. So maybe for me,
The milieu was different, but the plot twist, I mean, all of that stuff is taken straight out of System Shock 2. And if you really want to make yourself sad, there's some guy who's written a really, really awesome ending for BioShock. Everything after Andrew Ryan and completely rewrote it. He keeps some of the main stages, but he just kind of recasts it. And after you read that, I encourage everybody who's listening to look that up. You realize what they could have done with that last, about a quarter of the game, which a lot of people feel was kind of meh. Man, if they had just thought about that, it could have really been one for the ages. Now, I don't want to be down on BioShock. It's certainly a strong contender for Game of the Year, but it had more potential, you know. I give it a B on its report card, and I've made a little note in the margin that, BioShock can work
has
even
potential.
Harder. Yeah. They'll impress me if they can make the next game based on the Fountainhead or something. If they can keep going with Ayn Rand, then...
I have to go out on a limb and say that I'm completely ambivalent about BioShock. That last quarter of it... I mean, my enjoyment of the game was a bell curve. It really was a bell curve. Because I first started the game, of course, obnoxious objectivist that I am, I'm, playing the game and going, wait, they misinterpreted this thing, and that thing is inconsistent,
because I'm being an ass, right?
No, I did. The problem was that I couldn't enjoy it fully because two-thirds of my brain was dedicated to figuring out how wrong it was. But that's just because I'm crazy. So, and then... As the action intensified, I loved it. That plot twist, the one that has the statute of limitations run out yet? Well, fuck, I'm not going to talk about it. But the twist, we all know which one it is. That was fucking amazing. That was incredible. And then for it to just go straight down in the other direction and end with a fucking boss fight, that killed it for me. When the credits rolled, I just kind of stared at the TV and shrugged.
You know what killed it for me, George, was that I was playing it on the hardest difficulty, and if you do that, it had some kind of adaptable difficulty curve to the point where, by the end of the game, the only way I could kill an enemy was to freeze them and shoot them 10 times in the head with the shotgun. Every single enemy. And it just got to guys, why? I have all these plasmids, this is not right, but, or freeze them and hit them with a wrench 1,000 times, and I just thought, for such a game that does things so beautifully, why did they do this? This is just dumb now. So I hope they sort that out.
All right. Enough of you guys bagging on BioShock. I will say this.
I still love it. I still think it's a very good game.
But... if there's a game that a lot of people mostly complain about the ending, that tells me that a lot of people actually beat the game.
That is true.
Which doesn't actually happen too often, really. Okay. Next, another high-profile first-person shooter, Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare.
Getting a sequel this fall.
How many is that? Are we up to three?
Every single one for three so far.
Three! Very good.
Very popular. It kind of stole a lot of thunder from Halo 3, really.
Yeah, the multiplayer was really, really good. Well, you know why? Because they're the only other shooter that implemented a proper party system. Shocker, it worked.
Yeah.
I was way more impressed by Call of Duty 4 than I expected to be.
Yeah, I think a lot of people were. Because, Call of Duty were always solid games. The Infinity Ward ones, at least. But this one just, was
normally,
really
good. Normally, I don't care about first-person shooters. Or about modern military stuff. But they seem to be doing it reverently, or at least respectfully, in an interesting way. And it made me want 6 Days in Fallujah to be done by those guys.
Right.
But I'll probably buy it. Then the sequel comes out. Even though I've never played online.
Oh, you should. It's fun.
You can play with our younger brother. He's on there all the time. You can pick his brain about us. Alright. Next is Command & Conquer 3.
Getting a sequel next year.
Yeah, the Tiberium Wars. I didn't play this, so someone else has got to chime in.
Anybody?
Okay, next.
No, hey, no full motion videos starring Sulu. No deal.
Yeah, there you go.
Exactly.
All right, next is Crackdown.
Getting a sequel next year?
Yep.
It's not this fall, though.
Nah, it's next year.
Next year.
Okay.
We're still 5 for 5.
All right. This is still my favorite open world game.
Yeah,
absolutely. I am stupid for this game. That Crackdown ruined Grand Theft Auto 4 for me.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
And frankly, it ruined both Infamous and Prototype for me.
Yes, me too.
Infamous and Prototype, the whole time I'm playing, I'm just like, man, I could really go for some Crackdown right now.
You know what? You know what I love about Crackdown? Like this. It's almost kind of like the opposite of Assassin's Creed, where I love how simple the objectives are. It's always just,
yeah, go kill this.
Okay, there's four guys. Go kill them. Because it's not like, you know, it's not like Grand Theft Auto, where like, all right, get in your car, go talk to this person, get the mission, go do this, go see this other cutscene, go do this. You know, no, it's just go get this person. There's a bunch of people around him. You're gonna have to really get in. You're gonna have to find out how to infiltrate and stuff. And it's awesome.
It doesn't need cars.
It doesn't need anything else. You're just jumping around. I love it. Anybody else?
I second it. It's not on my best of 2007.
Right, yeah. It's more like of a guilty pleasure than
It's a popcorn game, yeah, but you know, it's a good one. It's an enjoyable
game. I love Crackdown in the same way that I love Serious Sam. It's just a purely visceral, just like, it's just sensory gratification is all it is.
It had some of the most fun achievements, too.
Sure, jumping from that huge building. Right.
Oh, that was fun, landing in the little pool.
Yep.
And just the search for all the agility orbs was just so time-consuming, but you were always enjoying it. You just spent so much time, and it was just like, you get to one, and you see, just by the distance, oh, there's another one, just a little higher. Maybe I can get to that one. And then you spend another half an hour trying to get to that one. And then once you get that one, you see another one. And it just snowballed like that. It was, honestly, it's probably the game I had the most fun that whole year. It was amazing. I love that game.
It's packed up.
All right. Next up is God of War 2.
Getting a sequel next year.
Yep.
6 for 6.
God of War 2, obviously, I played like God of War 1. It was a lot of fun. For me, this is when I began to kind of notice the sort of overcompensating in the game's plot, if you will. I don't know if that's the way to put it. Just the sort of, I don't know, what's the word?
What do you mean? I don't know.
It's just the way, it's, you know how I criticized the Bionic Commando's voice acting when you were playing it?
Yeah.
There's a little bit of that in this. That whole kind of, you know.
Talking too much.
They're talking too much, and they're grunting too much, and they're too mad.
Well, he is the angriest man in Greece.
See, yeah, maybe I wish he wasn't so angry. I guess what I'm saying. But obviously it was all fun hack and slash.
It's very hard to follow. See, God, it's like Pirates of the Caribbean. The first movie was great. And then they were like, wait, we need to broaden this into a trilogy? Okay, well, we'll just work these plot elements in and they won't work as well. Right. So, you know, God of War was a complete story. It was done. Right. It was awesome. Yeah. You know, finito. But I liked the direction they went at the very end of God of War 2. I think Fiend and I are on the same page in this because they seem to be tying it a little back, a bit more to Greek, traditional Greek myth and stuff. So I want to see where they go with that. But I can leave Kratos' anger. You know, I don't need to rip heads off of everything all over the place.
Right. Well, the thing with me at God of War 2, it almost got a little too silly. Like, you're on this very linear path and just constantly running into, you know, famous people from Greek mythology. Like, there's Prometheus and here's, I don't know. This just went on and on and on. It just seemed a little convoluted.
I don't remember who said it, but somebody described it as Greek mythology fanfic.
It has that feel.
See, the original God of War was classy, despite being hyper-violent.
Right.
And I think they're getting, especially with the third trailer, we're leaving that territory. That makes me a little sad.
It's becoming like, you know, more Mortal Kombat then. We're not taking the violence very
seriously.
Look,
you can see its guts spilling out, and then we rip this guy's head off after he's dead just because we can.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going there. That's okay.
All right, next. I want to say, for all these Half-Life, all the Orange Box games, in 2007 I considered them one game. I think now I'm ready to separate them all as their own things.
Right.
So, first we have Half-Life 2, Episode 2.
Getting a sequel sometime this century.
We
don't know for sure, but we're hoping.
Someday, right? I guess.
Probably one of the most intense endings of any game I've ever played.
Don't spoil it for me. Don't spoil it.
No, I will not. I will not. Except to say that it left me a quivering wreck.
I'm about to build a new computer. That's first on my list.
Okay. Then do it.
It's phenomenal.
Do it. We will discuss plot elements no more. Just do it now.
Okay.
N-A-O, now.
And it actually had a different setting than the other Half-Life 2 stuff. And I was
the final battle, or whatever you call it, is just so fucking cool.
Yeah, it was a lot better than Episode 1 was.
Actually, I can't remember where it was, but there's somewhere an article where they talked to Valve about how they handled that last encounter. You should go read it.
Birch wrote that as a feature for The Escapist.
Yes, you're right. And it's incredible. You don't realize how much stuff is going on behind the scenes to ensure that is as exciting as it can possibly be. It's remarkable. like how good they are at what they do. So yeah, you should all check that article out if you've beaten it. If you haven't beat it first, then read it, like you, Mage.
All right, next is Halo 3.
Getting a sequel this fall?
Kind of. Halo 3 ODST.
Oh, no, I just found out that Nathan Fillion plays a character in ODST.
Yeah, yep. He does.
I'm very excited. I love that guy.
I was just saying, all right. I guess George should talk about this one.
Pass.
Pass? You know. Mr. Bungie, it's
all right. I catch a lot of shit for it. But yeah, it's, you know, it's everything that you would have expected another Halo game to be, which is rich in subtext that's buried so fucking deep that nobody ever sees it.
Yeah.
And like, that's pretty much, I mean,
about
okay,
all
honestly,
stuff on the terminals. I was shocked.
And well, I, right. I mean, sad like, I honestly, it, but... that's par for the course with everything that Bungie does, because, you know, they kind of always have this, like, smartest guys in the room kind of thing about them. I mean, their company motto is "Don't make us kick your ass" in Latin. So like their whole thing is that like they like to come up with these like really rich stories and universes and really flesh them out and make them like super vivid and super organic and just really amazing stuff, and then just hide all of it, and then just have like a fucking like, you know, summer blockbuster popcorn flick happening on top of it with no reference to what's going on underneath. And the only reason that I found it is because I played a shitload of Marathon when I was a kid, and I was conditioned to look for that shit in the first place.
I think I found one of those terminals. I had no idea what it was talking
about.
Yeah,
dude, there's seven of them.
Yeah, I ended up Wikipediaing it so I could just read it all, and it's fascinating.
Well,
it really
that
is.
Was the thing, is that, like, the entire time... What's up?
There's two versions, right? There's the story you get if you're not playing on Legendary, and then there's a completely separate story.
Yeah, there's the other version you get when you're on Legendary. Yeah, and the incredible thing is the entire time... Yeah, and the entire time that I'm reading this shit, what's going through my head, but, man, it would be really cool if somebody made a game out of this. And I'm like, what the fuck?
You're playing a game.
I'm reading it in another game. What?
It's sad, but, you know, Bungie likes money. And it's sort of like being Pixar. Like, I when I went and saw Up recently, I felt bad for the guy whose job it is to have to come up with every year a story that works well for kids and well for adults and has some sort of emotional resonance but plays well to a worldwide audience. Like, that's a hard job. And so, you know, Bungie's doing the same equivalent with Halo. Okay, we gotta sell to the guys who just want to multiplayer throw grenades, but we also gotta sell to George. How the hell are we gonna do this? They pull it off all right in Halo. I mean, Halo 3 is the kind of underwhelming bang that wasn't, right? Because everybody was excited about it for a tiny little bit, and then they shrugged and went back to Call of Duty. So,
I think, honestly, Halo 3's biggest failing, I guess, it looked good, but it didn't. It's not the best looking game on the Xbox, nor was it when it came out. And I think after the way Halo played on the original Xbox, there was kind of that expectation. Like, the fact that Gears looked better, I think, was kind of a disappointment in Halo 3.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't affect my enjoyment of the game, but I think to some people it had that effect.
Also, well, I'm sure that the Master Chief and melodrama don't go together. So yes, when you have Sergeant Johnson expiring and, you know, I could have been a boxer sort of thing, like, that, no. No. You know, it didn't, it worked. Resistance is greater in for their restraint in not doing that.
Hmm.
So,
but then we should talk too, like, you look at all the multiplayer features this introduced after Halo 2 created the party system. This created, you know, replay sharing, you can make all your game types, share those. They're launching, I think soon, the ability to export WMVs back out of the game.
Oh, they added that on...
it's like a paid service.
They added that
on Bungie Day. Okay. So, yeah, very good. So, yeah, I mean, like, it still continues to really push the multiplayer space and what you could do with it.
Yeah, it's like R&D, man. The stuff that comes out of Halo multiplayer is way beyond.
Yeah. Well, I think, in general, like, Bungie pours a lot of manpower into R&D. I mean, even in terms of the visuals, it's obvious that they poured much more into their technology than they did into their assets. Because, you know, the textures are kind of low res and the models are kind of low poly, but their rendering engine is off the fucking chain, man. Like, their HDR pass, like, I've seen just, like, breakdowns of how many passes they run through the renderer. It's sick! It's unbelievable! And so you can tell that, you know, they poured way more into, let's make the lighting fucking perfect, and then, you know, we'll worry about poly counts and texture resolution later. So, you know, it was kind of a trade-off.
All right, are we ready to move on?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, next is Legend of Zelda Phantom Hourglass.
Getting a sequel this fall.
What is that, 9? 9.5? Sorry.
Pretty much all of these have sequels coming at some point.
Right. Well, Phantom Hourglass for me was a game where the control scheme was perfect, but a lot of the design decisions kind of weighed
it down. It's a fucking dungeon. I hated going back to it every time.
Yeah, pretty much. The whole let's be stealthy bullshit. I can't stand it. What, no one else?
It was good. I'm sad. I mean, like, Zelda, I feel
it
really...
was good. I'm sad.
It's sad now to just the fact that they are not innovating. You know? Like, I've done the Boomerang Dungeon. I want something else, or I want them to let it lay fallow for 4 years or 5 years. And
I hate to spoil this for you, but you're gonna play a new Zelda game every 2 to 3 years. There's gonna be a Boomerang Dungeon. There's gonna be a Hookshot Dungeon. There's gonna be a Bow and Arrow Dungeon. There's gonna be a Water Dungeon.
Yeah, but
let's face it.
Yeah,
Iwata
has to answer for making me blasé about Zelda. That's difficult. That pisses me off. But
he's not gonna answer to you. He's gonna answer to
the billions
who still buy it every time.
Yeah. I did like it. Phantom Hour. I mean, the dungeon was annoying, but it was okay. I love the Wind Waker style. I think it's the correct look for Zelda. I want them to keep rolling with that.
Yeah.
Okay. Next up is Mass Effect.
Getting a sequel this fall.
Yeah.
I'm so close to beating it. This close.
Oh, it's
I'm going to do it before 2 comes out.
Okay, now, this AJ, this was your game of the year for PS7 when we originally did it, right?
Because I figured I was close to... And I was close to beating it before, and then my Xbox got stolen. So I was trying to look at the potential, and I mean, I love the fuck out of this game. It's just really long. Because I do all the side quests and everything. I can't not do them. But yeah. it's great. I mean, I think it was Cliff Bleszinski who was saying this week that the way things are going, you're like pretty much all FPSs are going to turn into FPS-RPG hybrids because that's how you got to keep them interesting. And, you know, this was a little more the RPG than the FPS end of the spectrum,
well,
which
John
I was
Carmack
okay with.
I think John Carmack would disagree.
Yeah. But, like, a lot of people had trouble wrapping their head around the fact that if you put your reticule on something's head and pull the trigger, you're not going to necessarily hit it in the head and kill it instantly. But it didn't bother me. And, I love everything about this game. I think the story's good. And I love the conversation system with the radio wheel that just had, like, suggestions of what you're going to say.
That was a stroke of genius.
Yeah, it just made everything interesting to watch.
Yeah.
In
the
lesbian
Although
scene.
The concept of dialogue options as suggestions as opposed to verbatim text had been done in Chronicles of Riddick.
Right.
But the radial wheel was such a better way of doing it than just scrolling up and down in this vertical.
Well, and the conversations
list.
They just flowed so well, you know? And it's gonna be cool. In the second one they said like you can even cut people off and hope they're trying to do more with the acting, like the physical acting in the game. So, yeah, hopefully it'll work.
All right. Next up, Metroid Prime 3 Corruption.
Compilation coming out next month and a sequel coming maybe next year.
It says 2010, so hey.
Yep.
I guess as much as we all love Metroid Prime 1, at this point, it was still good.
It became Metroid Halo.
Well, yeah.
Like, that first level was right out of Halo 1.
Yeah, that's true. But, I mean, just beyond that, just even after that, we just began to feel like Metroid Prime again. You kind of got a sense of the been there, done that-ness going on there.
Mm-hmm.
It's time for them to innovate. I liked it a lot, but I forgot it instantly when I beat it.
Right. It's good that they're moving on to Metroid Other M instead of Metroid Prime 4.
Yep.
Okay, next. Odin Sphere.
Is this getting a sequel?
They're making a new game for the Wii.
No, they're doing what they should have done with Odin Sphere, which is making an actual game using that style, but without the 60 hours of repetition necessary to finish Odin Sphere.
What's that game called again?
Muramasa the Demon Blade for the Wii.
Yeah, that looks pretty sweet. It's actually a side scroller, not like the weird like circles connected to each other strange thing.
Structure I thought was kind of cool, the fact that the levels endlessly looped. It played almost like a bastardized Defender.
Yeah.
I felt really bad. Like, I wanted to like Odin Sphere, and it just made me furious at the Japanese and their artificial game stretching, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think that would have been a great 10-hour game or whatever. It wasn't a great 60-hour game, which is what it takes you to beat it. And the worst part of that is that the final five bosses are really great. They're really awesome. They're some of the best, like, visually rich, good side-scrolling platforming kind of fights that have been around in a while. But you got to play through the same level, you know, 20 times each to get to it. And I question that decision.
I got to the part with the final five bosses, and the first one just kicked my ass so bad I just couldn't. I had to stop right there. I just couldn't do anything. Like, apparently you just had to do so much level grind with every character. And there were five bosses, and you could pick which of your five characters you want to use. And if you don't use, like, the right character for the right boss, you're not going to get the right ending or something.
Yep.
It's complicated.
I hate shit like that.
But absolutely a gorgeous game. I don't think anyone would say otherwise.
No, take the technology and make a regular side-scroller with it.
Exactly. All right. Next up, Peggle.
A WoW theme sequel came out this week.
There's going to be a lot of Peggles. So,
yes.
Yeah, there they are.
I have it on my iPhone. It's great.
Yeah, I like the iPhone version best. Works well there. It's Peggly. Everyone likes Peggle, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's the casual game that hardcore gamers could admit to loving.
Yes.
And not having any shame.
Next, Portal.
Which I believe they've said a sequel is coming. No date.
They kind of say there was one. I don't know. But everyone loved Portal. It was the darling of 2007, wasn't it?
Portal
People
was the game
who don't
that proved...
like Portal have no souls and drown puppies forever.
Exactly.
Yes. It was the game that proved you could have a very compelling, complete 5 to 6 hour experience and no one's going to bitch about it.
I'm still waiting for that to bubble up into the mainstream consciousness, right?
Yes.
Like, to have the short story video game as opposed to the friggin' Dark Tower novel series that you have to read through. Like, you played Portal, it was 6 hours, it was awesome, everybody still loves it. Where's the rest of those?
Yeah, that fact alone is enough to make it my pick for Game of the Year, 07.
And Portal was a lot of fun, wasn't it?
Not only was the story good and compelling, but...
Yeah,
that
was the surprising part, was that there even was a story? Because, like, we were hearing about this game, it was like, oh, there's Portal, it's like a tech demo, maybe we're going to see that gun in Half-Life 3 and that'll be cool. But no, there's like a lot of stuff going on there.
And it just had really compelling gameplay. It was fun.
Right, and GLaDOS
was
one of the most fun...
It spawned a hell of a lot of jokes.
It's kind of bizarre to play a game that was as funny as Portal was. Because it just doesn't happen that often. Alright. Also, one of the few puzzle games that actually have a satisfying final boss.
Yeah.
Had to throw that in there.
Yeah.
Professor Layton in the Curious Village.
Getting a sequel this fall?
Yes.
Finally. Or as Pishu calls it, Professor Layton in the Mysterious Mensa Entrance Exam.
He's twittering now. Did you see that Layton is on Twitter answering your questions?
Yeah, I just saw that. I just started following him today. That's great.
Communing
with
the
riddles
out. You need to get a good show from him. Maybe you can get a fight going on between the Henry Hatsworth and...
He won't tell me good show. Does he even have it? What would his catchphrase be?
Critical thinking is the key to success.
Oh, man, you're right. No, but this game was great. It had a really kind of cool triplets of Belleville sort of art style going for
it. It's a kind of European animation style.
Right, exactly.
I like that.
And the few cutscenes in the game were amazing. But you had a lot of puzzles. They were a lot of fun to do. It had a decent hint system to help you out. And I don't know. I loved it immensely. Really looking forward to the next one. Continue on with portable puzzling games. We have Puzzle Quest came out.
Sequel already came out.
Oh, yeah. Kind of. That. What was the name of the funny expansion they released for this? Revenge of the Plague Lords?
Yes.
Yeah.
Puzzle Quest, I'm still playing through it on my iPhone. I love this game.
Oh yeah, Puzzle Quest kind of started this whole, like, hey, we can make hybrid games out of the puzzle genre. It'll be great. And this was a really fun game. RPG puzzles. Who knew? Huh? Very long,
too. Surprisingly good music.
Yeah.
I liked the music in this game.
Art style maybe not so surprisingly good.
Yeah.
But it was fun. Okay. Next, Super Mario Galaxy.
Getting a sequel next year?
Yes.
Such a strong contender. You know, I don't think it's got my nomination for Game of the Year, but goddamn, is it an awesome game.
Yes.
You know, it's It does, my the older I get, the more I value the idea of non-repetition in games. And it did exactly, it rectified the problem that Super Mario 64 inflicted on the world 10 years ago or whatever by putting collectibles and revisiting stuff all the time. No, the star is there, you are here, get the star, that's it.
And even though there was, like, revisited worlds, it was almost always different paths and things
like
that.
Yeah, it wasn't the same. It wasn't coin collecting, it wasn't widget collecting as much, unless the level was specifically, okay, collect, like, these 100 purple coins. I could deal with that. But it cut away a lot of the crap that other platforms of its kind have.
And you wouldn't have to do those more sort of collecting stars if you wanted to, because you only needed, like, what, 70 stars to beat the game or something, and there's like 120. So if there's something you didn't want to do, don't do it.
Right.
But just, what a gorgeous game for the Wii.
Yeah, it looks good by any gaming standards. Really? It's a shame that more games than the Wii don't look this good.
It's the game that made everybody shake their fist and be like, oh, Wii, I guess you're okay now for a while. Damn it. Yeah.
And what a great mechanic, too, so that, like, you know, you can have less experienced gamers sort of play along with you and feel like they're contributing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was a great idea, the way they used the second Wiimote.
It was. And what a surprisingly great soundtrack.
I know.
Fully orchestrated, not just relying on old Mario songs. It was fantastic. Anyone else?
No, I think that covers how
there's,
awesome.
There's lots of love.
It's great.
Justified.
Definitely.
All right, good. Next up, Team Fortress 2.
The only game on this list I cannot find a sequel for.
Oh, there you go.
Because it's still
Team Fortress 2 has the distinction for being a multiplayer-only game that has more character than most single-player games.
Very, very. That's what I've always said. It's amazing. Now, just between the chatter in games and these little videos they put out, which are amazing, like, yeah, these
gentlemen,
these are awesome characters. Oh, the spy one was so good.
No, I like the sniper one best, though.
It's between the two. But it's just Team Fortress 2, it's so good. And not only is it so good, for 2 years now, we've been getting a steady stream of content and updates, and substantial content and updates. I mean, it's still going. It's great.
I didn't even get into it until this year. Mm-hmm. And now I play it all the time. And, like, I just play the Plunder-style maps, or, like, the ones to Plunders, and it's just so much fun. It just reminds me so much of that Team Fortress, like, the first Team Fortress did, but, you know, it's prettier, it's better, it has more character, it's just great times.
And quite possibly my favorite art style definitely of that year, but possibly of any game I can remember.
Right.
Well, it's you know, Valve made that conscious decision that every character class has a distinct silhouette.
Yeah.
And it I mean, people don't even realize that, but it works so well. Because when you go and you play any other shooter with classes, it's almost frustrating that you can't immediately figure out who's what. And you almost don't know why until you really think about it and realize, like, when you look at the character lineup and you see how distinctive they all look, it's amazing that they were able to come up with 9 unique designs like that are so instantly identifiable.
Yeah, it's interesting that some of the games that of 2007 that really bubbled into the public consciousness are primarily PC. Like Portal, yeah. Team Fortress. Like, how many times do you go to
primarily Valve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, also games in the orange box.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, if there's anyone out there who still doesn't think that the orange box for $50 was the best deal in the history of gaming, you're just incorrect.
Yeah, honestly.
Seconded.
Okay. Last on my list is Wii Fit.
Getting a sequel this fall.
Yeah. I don't have a whole lot of love to throw at Wii Fit, but...
My problem with Wii Fit, and I guess EA Sports Active corrects this, and that's why I want to get it, is Wii Fit wasn't structured. It was just like, here's a bunch of exercises, go fun. But it's akin to, if you're new to, like, going to a gym, and you show up in that gym, there's all these machines, you don't know what to do almost.
Yeah.
And the game would reward you just as much for doing the one yoga pose that was standing on one foot for a couple seconds, as it would for doing, like, one-arm push-ups.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I did some of those one-arm push-ups, big mistake. But, I mean, it was Wii Fit, it took on, Oprah talked about it or something, so there it is. All right, anybody else want to bring up some of their stuff before we go to David Wynn's?
Oh, sure. I'm hunting and pecking a list here. There's a couple ones that jump out at me, like the Simpsons game was great, very overlooked. Zach and Wiki, I will champion that game. I totally
seconded. Love that game.
Yeah. Overlooked, like, diamond in the rough, deserves to be on every Wii owner's shelf. It just was too weird, I think, for people to take a chance on it, but those who did, you know, loved it. I haven't played The Witcher, but it's worth mentioning.
Oh yeah, that is a good game, and it just got a new content patch this week.
That's also on the list as soon as I build my PC. I mean, Bully loved it.
It's the biggest Polish video game of all time.
Yeah.
Whatever that means.
The new Fire Emblem, which I liked, Contra 4, which broke my DS, but I liked.
Did that break your L button?
Yeah. Holding down that stupid gun. And there was something else, but...
Well, what about Endless Ocean? You loved that.
Oh, I did. I did. Okay, you know, the review of Endless Ocean that I read where it started off by saying, okay, you're on the boat, you're in the ocean, and you dive in, and the terrorists fail to show up. And the zombies fail to attack the ship. And, you know, everything you know about games is wrong. You know? It's true, but, you know, like, Endless Ocean came out in the middle of the winter, and which is cold here in Toronto. So my wife and I, like, lazy, 10 o'clock at night, we boot up the Wii, and we swim around, and it had enough of a structure that it would point you to the next area. So, I mean, if you like the exploration aspect of, say, Metroid Prime, and you like poking around in places and finding stuff, the game was full of that. There's stuff to pick up all over the place that you could bring back to your boat and, like, examine. There was kind of little plot threads and stuff. There's a lot more I thought they could have done with it, but it was super relaxing. You know, something... I am a scuba diver. I have a scuba diving license, so it was, you know, the breathing. They got that atmosphere pretty good, and I liked Haley Westerna as a soundtrack device, or whatever her name is. So, yeah, it was a classy package all the way around.
I guess the reason I didn't pick it up was just, for a game like that, I would want it to be very pretty. I would want that to be a good-looking game.
Yeah, I guess, import Aquanaut's Holiday to try and see what it would look like on the PS3, but... You know, they put a sub interface around it, and it doesn't work as well. There's something about the Wii's point and float mechanic. I just really wanted it to be more beautiful, but I thought they did a lot right with it. It's you have to be in the mood for a game which is just exploration, but yeah, I give a thumbs up on it for sure. Oh, and Phoenix Wright 3, did we not mention
and
that?
4 actually, I think.
Yeah. Both of them.
I mean, at this point, you know, it's Phoenix Wright, and we love Phoenix Wright. I mean, anyone with a soul should.
I'd also throw out Overlord, but only just because I'm playing the sequel right now. But I loved Overlord.
There you go. All right.
That's it.
Anyone else?
I've got...
You have something else? Did I cut you off?
No. I'm just scanning here, but I think I'm pretty much done. It was a hell of a year. Mm-hmm. I mean, just looking back over this list, we haven't even gotten to, like, Ratchet & Clank for the PS3, and, like... Motorstorm. I'm not a racing fan, but, you know.
Yeah,
what a year.
Yeah. It was insane.
Well, I've got a few.
Okay.
Just by my own bizarre tastes in games, I am contractually obligated to mention any and all entries in the Wipeout and Ace Combat franchises, of which there was one of each. There was Wipeout Pulse, which was great. One of the first Wipeout games in a while to actually introduce, like, new game mechanics. They added sections of track that would magnetically attract the ship so they could go upside down and have all kinds of different geometry for the track, so that was a lot of fun. Ace Combat 6, of course, which I don't need to say anything about because you're flying a jet and you're blowing shit up, and that's all you need to know. For my sake and for P-Shoes, I have to mention No More Heroes. The greatest ironic game ever made. Because that is what it is, make no mistake. And then three indie entries from 2007. Penumbra Overture. First person, kind of survival horror, kind of puzzle solving. It was a weird mix.
Physics-based.
But I mean, really, really solid, really atmospheric. Aquaria by Derek Yu and Alec Halauka at BitBlot. That was awesome. That was like
was that
Metroid
like game?
Yeah, it was kind of Metroidvania. It had a bit of a, like an Echo the Dolphin vibe to it.
I was pulling for it as a squad mission, but we never got around to it. Bully did. He played the whole thing.
We should do that sometime because it really looked really interesting.
Yeah, Aquaria is great. I really do like that game. And the only other one to mention is Everyday Shooter for the PS3.
Oh yeah,
because John Mack. He killed it. He killed it on that game. Really knocked it out of the park.
I sat Rock and Jedi down, neither of which had played Everyday Shooter, and we just ran it for an hour or so at my house, and it was universally loved.
Yep. As
I'm
it should
also
be.
A fan. Michael, anything?
The only other one I would add is Super Paper Mario, because I love the series. This one was a little... I didn't enjoy it as much as the other ones. It still had the humor that I enjoyed from the previous two, but I just felt that the 2D to 3D mechanic just didn't feel complete in some cases. I had a lot of fun, but some of the levels it was great, but other ones it just felt totally tacked on, which I was kind of disappointed because I really wanted the follow-up to the thousand-year-old door to be really better than that, and it was fun, but it wasn't what I was hoping. But other than that, that's about it.
Right.
I mean, Zack and Wiki, like Bay said, is such a great game.
Oh, wait.
And I just, it's too bad. I think the art style threw a lot of people off, thinking it was a totally kiddie game. But if you played that game, you realize pretty quickly it is a hard game. It will drive you nuts if you are not really familiar with point and click and really looking for items. And it was, but the I think the art style just didn't mesh well enough with that game, so the people got sort of a mixed message from it. But that's about all I've got.
Nobody wants a Pimp Crisis.
Nope.
No. PC
I thought about bringing it up, but I expected to get crucified for it.
No, it's fine. I mean, there's a lot to like in that game. I just think it's still a case where a lot of people who haven't played it because their computers can't run it. I mean, I know that's why I haven't.
That's why I haven't.
Well, I mean, I'll just say right now that's kind of an urban legend. I got it running on a netbook.
Yeah,
I had everything turned down, and it was running at like 25 frames per second, but it was definitely playable.
Yeah, you can run it. Okay, I should tell you that. I can run it in my computer, but that's with everything turned down. But I don't want to run that game with everything turned down. I've seen what it can look like, and I want it to look like that. You know,
that's a game where I more enjoy the videos of people stacking like thousands of barrels on
that's
top of
true.
Each other.
That was
and
a cool video.
Up. Yeah. That's
wait! Uncharted came out this year.
No.
Yes,
did it?
November.
Wait,
19th.
It did. How did we
that's
skip
my
it?
My game
wait,
of the year.
This
done.
Fall.
I am
wait,
done.
You're right.
Uncharted.
You're right. Holy shit!
Way to go! Epic fail.
Oh my god! How the
well,
fuck
hey,
did we miss that?
Me? Oh my god! Oh my god!
Oh
I love Uncharted. I love Uncharted.
It's the best Indiana Jones game ever made.
Yeah.
I'm actually a little gay for Nathan Drake. I just need to throw that out there.
Yeah. Oh, come on. We all are.
Yeah.
It's true.
Sorry.
True
right?
story. dudes, Yaris came out this year.
No.
Oh,
we're not done with we're not done with Uncharted.
I've said everything I feel like I need to say. It's on my top
yes.
five of all time. It's fantastic. If you can name a better hybridized there are different games, but for its genre, for the action shooting, little bit of romance, little bit of puzzle solving, yarn, adventure pulp yarn, I defy you to name a better game.
Yeah, everything that I want to say about that game, Beige has already said with far more eloquence.
It's ruined a lot of other third-person shooters for me.
After you play Uncharted, you just realize how much they could inject into any other game if they wanted to. You know,
right,
if
Resident Evil 5 had, if Resident Evil 5 had a third of the personality that Uncharted had,
sure,
in Gears of War 2, you know,
get Amy Hennig out there writing, you know, good writing, great animation,
yeah, that was
easy graphics, beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, the
voice
fact,
acting.
Like, I remember seeing previews for that game, and they were like. Here are just 9 of the however many like animations we have for Nathan as he's hiding behind cover. And I was like, that's so smart because let's face it, in this game, you're going to spend a lot of time staring at Nathan hiding behind cover. So they make it interesting.
If
like,
you look
it's not hard to figure out, but it's they're like the only ones doing it.
If you look
still.
At the special features, they said that like Jack or Naughty Dog, right? So it was Jack and Daxter previously. Yeah, they said that game had like 30 animations, and Uncharted had 300 or something like that. Like, it was a magnitude of 10 on how much they animated. But it was just the little details. Like, remember when you're in the sub and you're walking and he puts his hand up on the top of the hull to stop his head from banging on it? You know, just, or little, you know, the, I poke my head out and there's a sub on a waterfall and the little, well, you don't see that every day kind of quips. Like, and then you get
just like little things like during the gameplay, like when someone like throws a grenade at him and you just hear him go, oh, shit.
Yeah, or
like,
no.
He has such like an everyman response to everything. It's what Indiana Jones did in the original trilogy. It was that kind of everyman response to all this crazy stuff going on around him.
Well, that in itself is what makes the entire story worthwhile, is that, and, you know, and Beige has said this, and I tell people this all the time, that it's one of the only games that I've ever played in which the main character actually has an arc. He actually experiences some sort of growth, because in the beginning, he's a jerk. And he's like, you know, and he's a kind of a wuss, and he's like scared of everything. And over the course of the game, he becomes, you know, he becomes braver and more courageous, and he gets over
and,
that shit.
You know, and the girl and he start out oppositional, but they grow through, you know, hardship, and it turns into a Romancing the Stone thing by the end of it. Like, it's just good. Like, they could do that with all kinds of games if they had the balls.
Oh, absolutely.
If they would allow more than one take per recording.
Well, right. And that's the thing that I keep going back to, and that's the thing I keep harping on. You can tell that they got more than one take in the recording studio. Like, it's not that complicated.
It also kicks the pegs out of the monkeys in the Guggenheim Gears of War thing, right?
Hell,
you know,
yes.
You know, like, you spend all the tech, you spend all the effort and sweat to make it as beautiful and as tightly play-controlled as possible, and then you put... There's a 10 shit tons of bugs down there, you know? I do like the Terran Marine flavor of Gears of War, but when you see real writing and, like, real, you know, we don't just have this beautiful game, but we have a beautifully written game with fun character, like Portal as well. Same deal, right? It could have been just a puzzle game, but they went that extra mile and they put it, they put in the extra sweat to make it work. And it's so hard to know whether that translates into sales or not. Like, if they would Uncharted, it wasn't a huge commercial success.
Well,
like,
at this point, there weren't that many PS3s out
there. Yeah, that was more a fault of the PlayStation 3 as a platform, I think.
I think people are hyped for 2. I mean, like,
yeah,
I say that
especially
seriously.
Especially after his E3 showing. Oh, my God.
Uncharted 2 is the game of this, the game coming out this year I look the most forward to.
Yeah.
And that's with, you know, all, you know, we just talked about the sequel, other sequels coming out this year. That just look incredible, but I'm just so pumped for Uncharted 2 right now.
Have you, Minotti, finished this yet? Because last time I talked,
I
don't think
he has. I
remember,
it's on my list.
I think we talked about it a little bit on the Barkley podcast. I finally beat it because like the one that was like, I can't believe I haven't beaten this yet. So I finally went back and did
one of the best finales.
Yeah,
just
I know.
Fantastic,
it was so
finale.
Good.
Don't tell me I still want to beat it.
You gotta get on that.
I'm not gonna. It's just great. It's just great. It'll make you rethink how games finish.
And I like how it's appropriately challenging when so many games are on one side or the other. Okay, we better move on because we've been talking about Uncharted quite some time. Let's go run down the David Wynn Sword Guy list real quick. Etrian Odyssey?
Etrian Odyssey.
Apparently they said it was Jeremy Parrish wrote a huge love letter to the thing. So he was apparently a real big fan of it. The Red Star,
that was a brawler.
They said it was an old school top down shooter.
Oh yeah, it was kind of like Robotron, Smash TV kind of thing.
Yosha no Kuze ni Namakita. It's Holy Invasion of Privacy, Badman. What did I do to deserve this? Which is coming out here soon. And then Tingle's Balloon Fight DS.
God damn! I wish they would localize Tingle stuff over here.
Right.
Yeah,
I'd play the RPG.
And he said, that's his list. He said it's getting slimmer as we go on because thanks to just the way the internet is, there aren't as many obscure games these days, which is a good thing.
Yep.
You know, I like living in a world where we have these digital downloads and everything.
We almost missed The World Ends With You.
Yeah, I was looking at his list too, and I'm trying to – maybe it's because it had a different name in Japan and I missed it on Wikipedia. I guess we should do that this year.
Okay.
I also want to save for next year because I like it so much. No, we'll do it. No, World Ends With You. I loved that game. You couldn't get into it.
I couldn't.
I was
I tried.
So sad.
I tried. You'll give me that, right? I tried.
You tried. But the play style on the bottom screen alone, with the sort of, you've got all, like, so many, you can assign so many different moves, and they're all kind of touchscreen based.
I can appreciate what they were trying to do, having you control two people at the same time, but ultimately it just got distracting. Like, I could, like, you know, it was like a jack of all trade thing.
But you see, like, with the upper screen, most of the time you're kind of, I don't want to say mashing the D-pad, but you had a rhythm for it where you didn't have to look up there and you didn't have to think about it too much. You can control the up screen relatively easily and focus on what was going on the bottom screen.
And also, I know you said, like, he changes, but I don't respond well to characters in any media who are just the ones walking around, "No one gets me. Well, I may as well not even be here."
Okay.
I just don't like that.
There is growth to that character, though.
I'd be more favorably disposed to it if it didn't pull an Odin Sphere and make me wade through 20 hours of grind for every 5 minutes of character development that we got. Like, don't get me wrong, I love The World Ends With You, but it was very wearying. It turned into a repeating type fight, little bit of plot, and I like RPGs and stuff that are set in weird locations, but I got tired of Shibuya, etc. really fast.
Okay.
Because you spent a lot of time there, and it didn't change, so, but I did like it. I turned off the training wheels and was playing it like just one, you manually control the upper screen, manually control the bottom screen.
Right.
That is a hell of a, I mean, that was very immersive. Some of those boss fights, it's like trying to read two different books with one eye. Once you get the hang of it, it's quite intense. And the soundtrack was fantastic.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, definitely. Especially for DS, because they had, like, vocal songs on the DS that sounded good. Mm. It was strange. It did a lot of innovative things. Like, it had, like, the difficulty slider. You can adjust at any time, and there was, like, a trade-off of difficulty
to
and,
reward,
like,
yeah.
and loot, basically.
Also,
really cool.
PAX 07 was the best place to play that game. I booted it up at PAX, and literally every time you're waiting in line, you turned it on, and the XP would just flow, because there was 100 people in the room all playing The World Ends With You simultaneously. By the end of Act 1, I had almost every pin in my pocket just from the trading. It was retarded. So,
And what was, there was like that mini game with the top.
Tin Pan Slammer?
Oh, I loved that. That was great. I'm gay for the game. I loved it. But, I mean, I'm gay for anything that the Kingdom Hearts team does, I admit. All right. His other mentions real quick. Apollo Justice, Bioshock, Call of Duty 4, Castlevania, Dracula, X Chronicles, Contra 4, Crackdown, his personal pick for Game of the Year, Crisis Core, Final Fantasy 7, Crush, and Zuna 2, Mass Effect, No More Heroes, Odin Sphere, Peggle, Portal, Professor Layton, Ratchet & Clank Future, Retro Game Challenge, Rock Band, Super Mario Galaxy, Super Paper Mario, Team Fortress 2, Tomb Raider Anniversary, Wipeout Pulse, The Witcher, The World Ends With You, and Zack and Wiki.
Back up. This is the year Rock Band came out.
Rock Band.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah, I guess so. Rock Band was a great music game that was like Guitar Hero, but better.
Yeah, I just think you need to mention a little more.
I know, it's there. Okay. All right. I'm not going to try to push Bioshock much. I'm kind of getting a feeling that's not going to work well with this crowd.
Okay, I've got two I'm juggling in my head. It's between Portal and Uncharted.
That's what I was.
Yep, me too.
Yep, exactly.
I'm on the fence there too.
We are of the same mind.
It should be noted that these are the two games with the best writing. Hint, hint.
Thank you.
Okay, oh my god.
Well, there's five of us here, so we're not going to get a tie.
Oh my god. Wait.
Votes.
Don't make me pick between Portal and Uncharted.
You must.
Oh man, I don't know.
If I have to choose between Deus Ex and Baldur's Gate 2, then you have to choose.
All right, I get this. I'll tell you this right now. I get the hosting advantage. I'm going last. I have the potential tiebreaker vote.
Okay, granted, I haven't beaten Uncharted, but I did watch you play chunks of it.
Your vote is valid. You played
it. Yeah, no, I'm just saying. When I saw the kind of change in enemy, I guess I'll put this vaguely at the end. I think we discussed this before. It doesn't seem like a huge deal breaker to me, but it did kind of change up the gameplay to be like a bunch of monsters who are going to run at you.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it thematically because it makes sense enough. But I did not enjoy how it kind of it wasn't like the pop and gun.
It's only
stuff
20
that
minutes
used to.
Long. It's only 20 minutes long. To remind yourself of that.
The thing is, Portal was such a friggin' complete experience. And it came out of nowhere, is the other thing about it, too. I mean, we knew it would be fun, but I didn't expect anything like this.
So your vote's Portal.
I think I'm going to go Portal.
Okay, one Portal.
I'll go Portal 2 just by default.
Oh, wait, never mind. All right, that's two Portal.
George?
He's thinking.
It's really hard because, you know, I've played each of those games no less than three times, and both of them get better and better each time that I play them, and that on its own is something that very rarely happens. But again, because I believe so strongly in the idea of a video game short story, I have to give it to Portal just on a philosophical level.
Oh. I guess Portal already wins then. Baze, what would your vote have gone to?
My vote would have gone to Portal. Also, as much as I'd love... And I'm just like George. Like, if Portal wasn't here, no question, Uncharted. And it's in my personal deck... Uncharted is higher than Portal, but Portal is something weird that we hadn't seen before, and they pulled it off so well.
Yeah, it had so much influence.
It went so deep into the public consciousness so fast that, Uncharted is the perfect platformer action game, but Portal is the perfect, what the fuck is this game? It's a short story, and I want it to have Imitators and other games like that, so I'll give it to Portal.
Hey, good. I don't have to pick one.
Well, I have an announcement to that effect later on, but yes.
What do you make?
Right, cool.
we'll wait for it. We'll wait for it.
Mike, you're just saying, Mike, what would you have... Are you on the
I
Portal
don't have
side?
To.
Come
no.
F off you.
No,
what was
I
it?
Don't have to, so I'm not going to do it. I can't.
You're the one who always
I'll
said these had to be...
Look,
they had to
look,
be all
and
agreed
I have,
upon.
And I'll agree with Portal, since that's the general consensus. Look... If I,
cop
okay,
out.
If, look, if I said one or the other, I could very easily change my mind tomorrow. All right.
Yeah,
I mean,
thing.
If you really want me to pick one, I will. But I mean, it's trivial at this point how much I like both of those games. I'll say Portal, I guess, because I think Portal is maybe in the long run more important because unfortunately I don't think enough people have learned the lessons of Uncharted yet. Whereas Portal, we are getting more games kind of like that. Even with stuff like Braid and other things, it's kind of. And I don't want to say Braid was influenced by Portal too much. So obviously, that game was in development forever. But these sort of smaller, like you guys said, short story video game styles almost.
My household likes Uncharted more, but the world likes Portal more.
Like, if I had to play a game right now, or a game I'm going to be deserted on a desert island with, yeah, I'll pick Uncharted probably. But, yeah, I mean, they both would have been insanely good picks.
This is getting harder and harder to do with one breath. I'm going to try.
All right. Do you need a drum roll?
86 Zelda, 87 Metal Gear, 88 Mega Man, 289 SimCity, 90 Super Mario World, 91 Street Fighter 2, 92 Star Control 2, 93 Myst, 94 Final Fantasy 6, 95 Warcraft 2, 96 Mario 64, 97 Curse of Mongolia, 98 Half-Life, 99 Counter-Strike, 2000 Baldur's Gate 2, 2001 Halo, 2002 Metroid Prime, 2003 Prince of Persia, 2004 Half-Life 2, 2005 Shadow of the Colossus, 2006 Persona 3, 2007 Portal.
Wow. Yes,
this is too long.
Do it once more for the prize.
Damn.
Yay.
Nice. Nice work.
This is a fun list we got here, isn't it?
It is nice.
Quiz.
All right. Oh, yeah, quizzy time.
It's time for public humiliation.
Dude.
Woo-hoo! After,
after
the Young
quiz
Bloods,
out.
The Young Bloods hit it over the fence.
Well, that's right. AJ didn't listen to it yet. They got a perfect score.
Oh, really? Great.
Six.
Making me feel bad.
I don't think you ever got a six.
No.
Yeah, I didn't think so. All right. Here we go.
Okay.
First question. The actual plot of Assassin's Creed, not the Crusade stuff, takes place in what year?
Oh, like the future stuff? Does anyone know for sure?
That's a dirty...
No fucking clue, man.
I want to say 2010.
That's what I was going to say.
I want to say 2014. I don't know.
2010.
You guys should have taken the average of those. 2012.
Ugh.
All right, you guys aren't going to... You're not going to beat them. All right, question two. What's the name of the main character in BioShock?
Oh, fuck. I know this one.
Oh, you do? What is
it? It's Jack Ryan.
Yeah.
Yay.
I was just thinking Jack, but hey, there you go.
I thought it was Jack, actually, so cool. I would have got it. Yeah. Keep going.
All right. Question three. Who is Sergeant Soap McTarvish's commanding officer in Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare?
Captain Price.
All right. There you go.
Yay.
Everybody loves Captain Price.
Don't we all? Question four, and his mustache. Halo 3 begins in what continent?
Africa.
Okay. Question five. What was the first Team Fortress 2 class to be updated?
It was... Hang on, I need... It was the medic.
Correct.
Yes.
All right, you get the bonus question. You pass the quiz.
Oh, man.
All right. Now these points of data make a beautiful line.
And we're out of beta. We're releasing on time.
All right.
Yes!
Wow! Well done.
Bravo.
The closer if we get would have just gotten memory. 2012.
Oh, I love that song. I guess we didn't even need to mention the Fantastic Kreds song, but
Jonathan Coulton, he sung it live in Toronto about a month ago when I saw him.
Oh, really?
That's sweet.
Well, yeah. I remember when he performed it at, what was it, PAX 08, when he Rickrolled the entire crowd. That was incredible.
Yeah. That's the one where Felicia Day came out and sang the Portal song.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So,
okay. All right.
A week in gaming.
All right. Have any of you guys played the Monkey Island yet? Tales of Monkey Island episode?
No, okay, here's my Monkey Island story. I went to get it last night after hyping it up to my mother-in-law, who's staying with us for a week. And it wasn't on WiiWare, which is where I was expecting to find
it. Yeah, it'll probably come Monday.
And I was, so I know I have not played it.
I'm just going to say that, just make sure you do, because the game is, like, I was not really a big believer in the Telltale thing, I guess. I wasn't really sold on the Sam & Max games. I kind of thought that the Strong Bad stuff was good, but again, a little too easy. And when I heard that they were doing a Monkey Island game, I wasn't as excited as I probably should have been for, hey, they're making a new Monkey Island game. It's the first one in nine years.
Dumbed down.
Because I thought, like their games don't look that good and stuff like that. And I just was not as excited as I should have been if, let's just say, LucasArts was like, here's Monkey Island 5. So I was like, okay, well, I guess it'll be neat. But it is Monkey Island 5.
They freaking nailed it.
I'll just the graphical issues. Is it the best looking game out there? No. But
it's exactly what Monkey Island should look
like. That's good. It makes up for some of, if you don't even, maybe you don't like the design of it, but the animations work really well, especially facially.
Yes.
Like, I think that was my problem with Monkey Island 4, where it was an advancement in technology, but we were getting less, like, facial emotion from it, you know, to a degree. And with this, I don't feel like we have that problem. There's a range of emotions there.
Any idea if it looks as good on the Wii? Because I'd hate for my experience.
I imagine to be it like, would.
Well, Sam & Max doesn't, or it didn't.
Really? I mean, if you're that concerned about it, I would just say go for the PC version, because I enjoyed that. But just besides that, I mean, the humor, it's surprisingly funny.
It's,
it rings very Monkey Island, if that, you know, I know anyone who plays Monkey Island knows what I'm talking about.
I've played a lot of Telltale games. I played through all of Season 1 of Sam & Max. I haven't done Season 2 yet. There's been stuff in their writing that I've sat... It's kind of like that intellectual, like, where I say, huh, that was pretty funny. But this game, you and I are both playing at the same time on our own computers. Between the two of us, we were cracking up.
Yeah, we were.
On several occasions. Like, this is the first game to make me laugh out loud like that in a long time.
Yeah. And a lot of it, you know...
Probably since Portal.
Yeah.
Probably.
And there's a lot of things that are just references the other Monkey Islands you find out playing. But there's a lot of stuff that's... And like a good Monkey Island game... A lot of the best jokes are, like, the things you have to kind of go and look for. It's when you use an item on something you probably shouldn't, or it's when you look at something one too many times and stuff like that. That's those are always the funniest moments. But there's so many other little touches, like the voice cast is great.
Yeah, all hail Armada. The return of Dominic Armato. I love that guy.
I love it. You got Michael Land back doing the music, which is
fantastic.
Oh,
the soundtrack is phenomenal. Like, it's just, they get all the little things right. Like, When you walk out of an area and it goes to the map, it does this really cool zoom out transition, and it does a little steel drum musical interlude as it boots up and everything. It's just it's so good. And like the whole intro sequence, there's like a little. It's almost like this intro to this game is the end of Monkey Island 5.
Yeah, exactly.
Because this game takes place after the events of Monkey Island 5.
Quote.
And but it's like you got two ships that are going next to each other, and just the way. Like, the cinematography of these scenes, the way the cameras are moving and the ships are colliding, it's just so well done.
Right.
I'm so happy this game is good. And this is one of five. Mm. We're going to get a new one of these every month.
And, you know, the whole episodic thing here, it works. It makes more sense now that when I think about it, because these games were always broken up into chapters anyways.
Right.
So, yeah, why not make an episodic Monkey Island game? It'll work. And I have to address, like, Control. There's two options. First, you can kind of do a click and drag thing.
And that's a little, I'm not a fan of that. But the other option is just you use the WASD controls to move Guybrush and use the mouse to point and click on stuff you want to pick up or
Yeah, it's
at.
What they did for Wallace and Gromit if you've played that.
And I guess you can say, well, why isn't it just point and click? And I don't have a good answer for why.
Yeah, I'm really not sure either.
But, I mean, it works. So, that seems to be one of the bigger complaints I see leveled at the game is that it's not just point and click. But what they have, it does work. I bet on the Wii, especially if you use, like, if it has support for the nunchuck and the pointer, that'll probably control really well.
I think that's probably your reason why they have it broken separately like that.
Right. Yeah,
I think Strong Bad was the same, was it?
No, Strong Bad was only click, I think, which is kind of weird. Unless maybe I just never tried using a nunchuck.
Yeah.
But I will also say this. I think we finally found a game where the balance in puzzles between, like, well, you don't want them to be too easy, but you don't want them to be so ridiculous that you're not going to get them without a fact. This game handles that very well. Because I never had to use a FAQ. I never had to use the built-in hint system.
But you didn't, like, breeze
through. Yeah, but it wasn't like game with
baseball bat use item together.
Right, exactly. And like when I pre-ordered the game, I got to download one of their other episodes. So I downloaded the first episode of season 2 of Sam and Max. I thought the game was fun, but I thought it was just a breeze. I thought it was too easy, and I didn't have that problem with this one as much. And it's just exciting. I mean, being a Monkey Island fan, that it's back like this. It's eternally
pleasing.
It
can't come on the Wii fast enough for me. Like, my PC's monitor is just about dead, which is one of the reasons I don't want to play it on there. But can't wait.
It's just gonna make you happy.
Yes.
Like, that's just the way
you just play the game with this big stupid grin on your
right.
face. The other thing, the other thing it does too is the characters are all really good.
Yeah, they are. Even the new ones.
Yeah,
but they're not like if I was pressed. To think of, to like remember a single character introduced Monkey Island 4, I probably couldn't.
Marco De Pollo.
Oh, who's Marco? I don't remember him.
I do. All right.
I don't really, but
well,
it was great.
Okay, so let me transition. I also got a free episode for pre-ordering, so I went for the first episode of their Wallace and Gromit series. And if you are a Wallace and Gromit fan, you owe it to yourself to play these games because, again, they completely nailed what makes Wallace and Gromit Wallace and Gromit. And when you think about all the crazy gadgets that Wallace and Gromit use, it lends itself very well to an adventure game. And the tech, I don't know if it's a technical thing or just an artistry thing, but the character models look like clay. Like when the mouths animate, they don't smoothly move. It looks like it's actual stop motion clay. And you can even see things like thumbprints in the models and things like that. It's just really neat how they pull that off.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Battlefield 1943. I played the demo for it. It lets you play the game for 30 minutes.
It's awesome.
So
everyone
cool,
go
it
get it. Which apparently people are because the servers are so hosed.
But if you are a fan of Battlefield 1942, it's basically that with better tech.
Yes, like it uses that Battlefield Bad Company tech, I think. So like everything's fully destructible. Like I don't know how you do, but you can call in air raids. And one of the bases got hit with an air raid so hard when I went back to recapture it, it was just leveled. The buildings, the trees, it was just destroyed. And, like, I was, like, we were playing the trial at the same time, not with each other, because the trial didn't let you play with a friend. But, like, I had, I was playing the class that has the rifle, the Garand rifle with the grenade launcher on it. Three guys were coming at me in a truck. So I nailed the truck with a grenade. The truck blew up, and all the trees around it just fell over. And I was like, this is awesome!
Also, great use of the Battlefield 1942 theme.
Yeah, every time you level up, it does a cool acoustic version of it.
Yeah, I love that song. Good thing, too, because they play constantly when you're looking for servers. Which
is
take an hour.
Is there good matching? Like, if we got the whole squad together to play.
Yeah, there is a party system in the game. I haven't tried it yet.
But apparently there's some problems with team balancing. I saw someone tweeting, I can't remember now, where it doesn't auto-level. Like you could
get into, like, a 16-on-4 match
was,
and things like that.
I think that was Sword Guy who mentioned it.
Yeah, I think you're right, which is seems like a problem. But it's and I always liked. I never liked any of the other Battlefield games as much as I liked Battlefield 1942. Just the way things worked with this one, like the planes were a little slower, which was nice. Like in just Battlefield 2, it was like the planes were just too freaking fast to actually do anything with them.
Right.
Because you're trying to bomb something, but you fly by it so fast. But this game was immensely entertaining. Adrian, how's Trine? You played the Trine demo. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, I played the PC demo for Trine. I thought it was coming out on PSN this week, but I guess it's next week.
I've been watching for it all week, and I think I looked it up right before the show. I think I read the 15th.
Okay. Now, do you know what what the difference is between the two versions? Because my understanding is on PC it's $30, but on PS3 it's going to be $20.
The I believe official explanation is that that's a big cock up from the publishers, because it's the same game on both systems. It's just twice as expensive on PC.
In that case, I'll get it on PS3.
They
when
are
it comes out.
They are pissed off about this. I read an article.
The developers are. The developers,
yeah, Frozen Byte is pretty incensed.
Okay. I'll get it on PS3 then.
As this should be mismanaged somehow.
So what's it like?
Okay, so it's kind of like almost like a old school Prince of Persia style platformer, where you're switching between three characters with unique abilities. There's an assassin who has a grappling hook, and shoots arrows. There's the knight who's got his sword and shield, and the magician who can levitate objects and create boxes out of thin air by drawing them. And it's very pretty. It's like a lot of fun. It's just a really great game.
The Lost Vikings, fun, but better?
Yeah, kind of. And for as good as it looks, it ran surprisingly well on my computer.
Yeah, I've been looking forward to that because I wanted to see more out of Frozen Byte. Those are the guys who made the Shadowgrounds games. Top-down shooters.
Okay.
I was kind of sad I didn't actually get to watch you play any of it. I have to try the demo myself.
It has three-player co-op, so, you know.
Oh, that'd be cool in the PS3 version, I guess.
Yeah.
If I could speak to someone, we'll have to do Xbox Live chats, but...
Yeah.
That's great. Use Xbox Live for voice chat for PS3 games.
I know. What does that say?
Brilliant.
They're totally caught up to one another.
Let's see. Is it me now? Did we transition to me? Because I got a bunch of stuff to talk about.
Well, do you have something else you need to attend to that maybe you can let someone else talk about something?
All right, fine. My friend just showed up. Let me see what's going on. Someone else talk.
I can talk. Or
go for it.
Okay, what have I been playing? I played Ghostbusters, you know. It's kind of been talked to death, but I loved it. My mother-in-law, as I said, is here with us for the week. That is the perfect game to play around a person who is a non-gamer, but who likes watching stuff, because she couldn't get enough of Ghostbusters. I haven't played it multiplayer yet. I basically agree with Yahtzee's review of it, that the, you know, there's a whole bunch of stuff that's broken or doesn't work well. And on hard mode, I certainly got tired of running around just playing Resurrection Tag instead of actually shooting ghosts. But I had a big dumb smile on my face through most of the game, so it gets a thumbs up from me. And I've been playing Overlord 2, like I said. If you liked Overlord, it's more of the same. I did like Overlord. It's kind of a guilty pleasure, I guess, but it's sort of, you know, it's dungeon keepery enough for me. I always appreciate the comical evil character, and you know, it's more of the same. Your minions, it's the same four colors. They don't really do anything different there. There's a couple of little tweaks, like you can possess your minions sometimes and run around inside of them, and there are a couple of interesting like sort of add-ons. Like at one point in time you get a galley and you're doing levels where your minions are rowing you around in this giant galley, and you can like intimidate them and shake the guy who's banging the drum to make him go faster and such. I don't know. I like it. I think it's really well written. You know, the dialogue is funny. The comical over the top is funny.
Didn't Rihanna Pratchett write the dialogue?
Maybe. I'm not sure.
I'm reading something about that.
The actual game part of it's pretty mediocre, but I'm playing it through for the flavor and enjoying that. So. Aside from that, the only thing I want to mention is I finally beat, there's this boss in Patapon 2, and I've been podcasting, I think like
six. Oh, was that the one that you were banging your head against during the when we were doing the Barkley podcast?
Yep. Well, I've been playing Patapon 2 for, I bet you could go back in the Squadcast to find out how long, but you know, months. And today, I finally beat the secret boss. It's this giant crab. The giant crab and I have been locked in a fight for about 2 weeks.
Why don't you just turn it over on its side and attack its weak point for massive damage?
I can't because they don't let Kazurai. Kazurai will not let me. But no, every day I come home from work, I fight this crab on the TTC, on the subway. I usually go about 2 rounds with him. The problem is he's got 5 attacks and 4 of them are instant death moves for your entire group. And unlike all of the other bosses in the game, the crab goes off timing all the time. So instead of pawn, pawn, patapon, it'll be pawn, pawn, oh shit, I gotta do something. And you have to keep breaking your fever, and it's just horrible. But it turned into this, I don't know, sort of me versus it. And today I finally beat it. It took me 19 minutes and 21 seconds of being perfect as far as the timing goes, but I have a big claw in my trophy room now, so I feel happy about that. But I'm ready to move on.
Okay.
That's it.
All right. I'm going to jump in. First up, I'll make it quick, Mike. I've got a bunch of iPhone games to talk about because I played a lot of my iPhone while I was gone for the 2 weeks. So let's see. First up, a game by Digital Chocolate called 3D Roller Coaster Rush. I don't know if you guys heard of this one. There's a light version. There was a 2D version that wasn't quite as good, but
I don't
the 3D
get this game.
One, it, I think it's awesome. You tilt your screen to control the speed of this roller coaster car. You're either just playing for the most points, or you race like a ghost roller coaster. And they added support to have your own soundtrack. So I have the two tracks that play in Space Mountain in Disneyland and Space Mountain in Disneyland Paris. And I just keep those on a loop. It's awesome. Let's see. Next up after that, I grabbed the popular puzzler Ellis. It was on sale for 99
yes.
cents. It might still be on sale for 99 cents.
It doesn't matter how much it's on sale for. You need to buy it because
yeah.
Steph Therion is an awesome dude and he needs your money.
There is a light version of this as well. It's hard to describe, but it's probably the best use of multi-touch in a game I've ever seen. It's phenomenal.
That's what everybody was saying at GDC. It's still actually one of the only iPhone games that is based on multi-touch as a gameplay mechanic.
Yeah, it's awesome. Hero of Sparta was on sale a couple weeks ago. It's God of War Lite for the iPhone. Surprisingly fun and works well. I got the new Doom for the iPhone, Doom Resurrection, which is basically an on-rail shooter where you move your reticule by tilting the screen. It's really good, actually. It's questionable if it's worth $10. I mean, I was starved for entertainment, and it was available, so it was great for me. There isn't a light version, so I don't know. You just think how much you want to play a Doom 3 on-rail shooter. There's a game called Colonist with a K. It's kind of like
a Mortal Kombat game?
No, it's like a variant on Catan.
Colonist.
Yeah. It's actually really good. There's no multiplayer, which is a bit of a bummer. But instead of like rolling dice, it's about where you place your workers. And there's no inter-player trading, so it's just AIs. But I don't know, I found it very worth it. It's a lot of fun as well. Let me just go through and make sure I didn't miss anything.
I actually played an iPhone game when Pete was up. It was a tower defense game that played on like cubes and stuff.
Oh, Star Defense.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. That's Moco. I think I've talked about that one already. Yeah, that's and Wings Galaxy. It's a space flight game with no combat, but you're just kind of like running missions and things. It's very pretty. It's very fun. Real
Wings
games.
Wings Galaxy is that from Bottle Rocket?
Maybe. They made, like, Earth or something like
Wings
that.
Earth?
Wings
okay,
Earth?
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
It was the same guys.
Same guys,
awesome.
Yeah. Otherwise, let's see. You got BlazBlue. Did you talk about it right?
Oh, shoot. I didn't talk about
BlazBlue.
Oh,
yeah, okay. Well, Blaze. It is
yeah,
in fact Blaze.
Yeah, I know. I thought it was BlazBlue, too, which makes me sad because I was going to make my own Blazberry Blue ice cream or something.
You still can.
Yes.
It's called BlazBlary.
Yes. But no, it's awesome. What I like about it is, I mean, it's gorgeous, like 1080p, 2D, high-res artwork that's very well animated with a lot of cool special effects and awesome backgrounds. But it's got that kind of Street Fighter 4 thing going where the characters aren't super complex. You've got 3 to 5 moves to work with, and it's just how you're going to use them. And it's just,
right.
It works really well.
Now, you tell me if it's worth, like, I want this game bad, but I don't want to play it on the Xbox 360 if my experience with Street Fighter 4 is, like, the mushy D-pad. Is that going to frustrate me?
I use the analog stick.
I do, too, and I've had no problems.
I think the 360 analog stick works really well with a lot of the quarter rolls and the sort of things you have to do in the game. For me personally. If not, I mean, I'll just tell you to invest.
Okay,
just
tell me, do you have to do a Blanca or a Sonic Boom where you hold back and then slam forwards in a button
no.
at the same
no,
time?
No, there's no charges. It's
no.
all directional.
Only,
okay, because
the only charge I've seen was like a super, super ridiculous move that are... besides like the kind of normal super moves, every character has... When you play through them in an arcade mode,
you unlock, like, it's called their astral finish. And to do the move, it has to be the third round. The opponent has to have less than 20% of their health, and then you do it. So it's pretty much...
You have to have 100% of your heat gauge.
Yeah, so it's pretty much ridiculous anyways. What were we saying, Paige?
I just want to know, like, the thing that I could not deal with on the 360 was the imprecision of going backwards and forwards with, on the D-pad. You know, like a Blanca roll
right,
or something
exactly
like that.
Because you
pull backwards, and then you push forwards, and it ends up being diagonally down or up or whatever. That drove me nuts.
No moves work like that.
Okay,
I'll tell you, with the analog stick, I have probably, I want to say, like a 95 success rate with these things.
And the reason you got this on 360 is because you want to get a stick eventually. Because you already have Street Fighter.
I always think I want a stick every time I do this, but I'm fine with the analog stick when I think about it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I really want to make that investment. But, you know, in the long term, maybe. But I just love this game. It's got that sort of Guilty Gear style where everything's kind of pretty. Everything's a little outrageous. The best is Bang Shishigami's one super move. It, like, he goes up in the air. This is, like, the character's, like, a little ridiculous. And he's always like, I will be the hero! I am the defender of truth and justice! Bang Shishigami! And that kind of thing. And his one move, he just, like, goes in the air. He's, like, on fire. And, it, like, the anime theme song comes in. Like, bang, 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 bang! Yeah! And it plays that for the rest of the entire round.
But, like, the other music is still playing in the background. It's on top of it. It's hilarious.
Oh, God. That's so great.
And then you were saying, I haven't played online, but you were saying, the netcode is phenomenal.
I can't say enough about the netcode. First off, even the matchmaking system is great. Because, I mean, it's just, it doesn't do the thing Street Fighter 4 does, where you go ranked match, quick match, and it says, we can't find a match. You want to try again? Push A a couple more times. I'm like, yeah, okay. No, this one, you push quick match, and it's going to look until it finds you a match. And the nice thing is, it'll tell you your opponent's, like, win rate and what character they mostly use, but when you get to the start screen, you don't actually see what they're going to pick, so that you can't counterpick or anything like that.
See, that's smart. I don't know why Street Fighter 4 didn't do that.
Right. And in player matches, you can see, but in ranked matches, you can't, as it should be. The netcode, I mean, I played a little bit over 100 matches at this point. I probably had... I want to say two matches where lag was a factor. That's ridiculous, really. And it's weird because the way it works is, like, it's like almost like right at the very beginning when the characters are kind of doing their little, like, starting animations, it's laggy there, but then it adjusts or something right before when it starts, and then everything's perfect. I'm really enjoying it. I can't say enough about it. It's a bit more of a faster paced game than Street Fighter 4, and there's, like, you know, the game where characters are going to have double jumps and maybe triple jumps and stuff like that. So there's more of an air game to it. It's just something I kind of prefer a bit more Street Fighter 4. Not that I don't like Street Fighter 4, but Blaze Blue is more my speed.
I prefer Guilty Gear to Street Fighter 4, so yeah. If it's anything like Guilty Gear...
And it is. It is like Guilty Gear.
Yeah, you'll like this.
Maybe a little slower than Guilty Gear, actually, but, like, not slow. It's, like, not like Marvel vs. Capcom 2 ridiculous. No 2D fighting game has ever been that crazy.
Yeah.
and plus, you know, there's only, like, 12 characters, and two of them are kind of boss characters, but, like, there's not a huge cast, but they're also different and interesting, and, you know, it's just, there's a lot to like there. I can't say enough about it. If you like 2D fighting games, especially Yuvage, if you like Guilty Gear, I think you're going to enjoy this one immensely. You get it right now, you get the soundtrack and the tutorial DVD, which is really interesting. There's even a story mode. What?
You didn't tell me about the DVD.
Yeah, I have a tutorial DVD, which is kind of fun. Yeah, I just kind of want... Yeah, that's nice. And there's even a whole other story mode. I mean, there's even a lot more else I could say about it. But in the interest of time at this point, we'll move on.
Let's see. So, yeah, I've got Fallout 3 Point Lookout on tap. I'll have that for next week.
I started playing some of them. I can wait till next week, too, because I might try to play more.
Cool. And, yeah, I think that does it for me.
And me.
MJ?
All right, well, the only game really I have worth talking about is after finally beating Twilight Princess, I decided to go through, pick Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts. Just try it out. I've had it in my shelf since last... when did it come out? I think November last year, I believe?
It's been a while.
Yeah, it was late last year.
I picked it up at some point, and I decided to try it out, and I'm having a lot of fun with it. I was a fan of Banjo-Kazooie, the original. I know most people nowadays don't want to admit that, you know, all the collectathon and stuff, but I was attracted...
Oh, I admit it freely.
Okay, well, good. Oh, there. At least that makes two of us. And I was attracted to the game just for that, and I like, so far I'm enjoying the game. I love its humor. I love a studio that is able to make fun of itself and within their game. They start the game off and they're basically parodying what they used to do. You got a fat banjo, out of shape Kazooie. Then Gratilda shows up, and then they're like, okay, we're gonna start this again. And then they start the thing. It's a race with just notes in a straight line for as far as the eye can see, and you're racing them. They're just making fun of the whole collectathon thing that everyone always complains about the first two. And then they say, you know, screw that, never mind, and we're going to do with the whole vehicle thing. And it's a lot of fun. The vehicle building aspect of the game is really time-consuming if you really want to put in the effort. For the most part, you only really have to use the basic blueprint templates that they provide to you for the missions. But if you really want to, you can really create these awesome vehicles that work perfectly. The physics in that game are amazing. If you create a vehicle that is just that, for some reason, something like the motor or the fuel tank is skimming the ground, the vehicle will literally act as if it is skimming the ground, and it will slow down. If one side of a plane is too heavy, it'll actually tilt that way, and you won't be able to steer properly. They did a really good job of creating a very nice physics environment for their game. It's a lot of fun. The missions are pretty varied, although sometimes it gets a little repetitive in some cases. There's a lot of races. They're still fun, but they kind of go a little long. There's, I think, in total like 131 puzzle pieces you have to collect in this game, and you only have to need 75 to beat the game. I'm at 70 so far, so I'm pretty close to seeing the end of it. They stretch it a little too long. I mean, they don't have, for some reason, I find that, no, they didn't have to have 131 different missions. I mean, they could have really stopped at 75. I've been playing this game for, I think, about 20 hours so far, and I'm kind of done with it. I don't think I'll actually try to go for the 131. It's pretty varied. I find that there's some weird quirks in this game, though. Like, for some reason, there's no map. There's no global map of either the worlds or of the main world. You just have the little mini-map in the corner, which makes it really hard to navigate sometimes, especially in the main village where you have Showdown Town, and then you have the five different worlds that you'll visit over the course of the game. And for some reason, they don't have a global map. So sometimes you're stuck somewhere, and you have no idea where you are, and the little mini-map is completely useless. And it's just, you'd think they would be able to just incorporate a map into the game to help navigation a little bit. I just find it really strange that they did that. And the other thing they did is, for some reason, in the village, they sort of incorporated these platforming elements to sort of keep in with the style of the old games, with there's no tie up and up on the various buildings that you can go reach. But the thing is, the platforming doesn't work in this game. It's almost, you're platforming with a vehicle. So basically, the vehicle, once you get at some point in the game, about halfway through, you can pick up a spring that you can attach to the bottom of your vehicle and sort of hop with it. And that's what you're using to go up the buildings, which feels really clunky. And it feels like they just tried to appease a bit the fans of the old Banjo-Kazooies, like myself, but it just comes off really shoddy and sort of unnecessary. It almost makes you wish that they had just scrapped all of that, stuck to simply the vehicle building mechanic, and then perhaps have done another platforming Banjo-Kazooie game. And instead of trying to mix that all together and keep the old with the new. But so far, I'm having a lot of fun with it. So it's very nice. And that's the end of my rant.
Nice. All right. No, that was very complete.
George, knock it out.
All right. So up until a couple of days ago, I had been splitting my time between Homeworld, of course, and oddly enough, Super Mario Galaxy. I was compelled to go back to it because I love that game. And I was alternating between the two of them. And that all kind of came to a screeching halt a couple of days ago because of, well, the announcement I said I was going to make. It's not a big deal, but I am now working with Winnipeg's Christopher Lobe, formerly of Infinite Ammo, the guys who made Paper Moon on Blurst, and we're making a game.
Wow.
We're making a short story, probably about maybe 3 or 4 hours long. We're planning to submit it to the IGF if we finish it by the deadline. It's not like a hard and fast thing. And I don't want to give too many details because the design is still in flux, but we are actually like working on this game. We're doing it in Unity, and I'm really excited. I can't wait to show you guys what we're working on. It's so cool.
Oh, we just had our first game announcement on the Exploding Barrel podcast.
Oh yeah.
Someone called Kotaku.
Oh, let's totally get that. Interview with George Kokoris in the Exploding Barrel podcast reveals Infinite Ammo's new game.
man, this is really... God, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's really exciting. I still have to work on my... Thank you. I still have to work on my time management because I'm also in class 40 hours a week and doing about 10-15 hours of homework a week. So, gonna have a hard time getting it into my schedule, but I think it's doable.
Well, once you become hugely successful, I can't wait to follow your coattails and, you know.
You will be welcome to. I will lift the entire squad up by its bootstraps. or whatever the appropriate colloquialism is.
Sweet.
All right. Anything else, guys?
That's about it, I think.
All right.
Let's get to the releases, then.
Some downloads on the WiiWare. BitTrip Core, the sequel to BitTrip, whatever it was, that everyone seems to like, but I haven't tried yet.
BitTrip Outer Shell, maybe?
I don't know. Bust a Move Plus, if you're a fan of Bust a Move. And Hercules Chariot Racing.
Heracles, please.
Oh, whatever. It looks like a Nintendo 64 game from the screenshot I saw. California Games for the Commodore 64 is your virtual console release. On the DSi, Art Style Base 10, another entry in the somewhat popular Art Style series. Asphalt 4 Elite Racing from Gameloft. Some kind of racing game that uses the DSi camera for stuff.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Xbox Live Arcade and PSN saw the aforementioned Battlefield 1943.
I didn't realize this was a PSN game also. Maybe that's why it's not part of the summer of Xbox
Live. Oh, that's probably it. There you go. Oh, same with Monkey Island.
There you go.
Okay. Also on PSN for the PS3 is Buzz Jr. Robo Jam. PSP releases Samurai Warriors State of War, an ultimate board game collection. And two PS1 quote unquote classics, Spec Ops Stealth Protocol and XS Junior League Soccer. GoodOldGames.com has announced their partnership with Rebellion this week. So this week we got Evil Genius, which is a great game in the vein of Dungeon Keeper. You also got Ground Control and its expansion. And also a game called Knights and Merchants, The Peasant's Rebellion.
Oh, no.
It's an RTS from 2001.
All right. So here's the rest of our releases. We had Trine on the PC. Arma 2 for the PC, whatever that is. That's a
military sim.
Oh, okay. What's an Arma?
Don't worry about it. It was called Armed Assault, and then there was some kind of like copyright violation, so they shortened it to Arma, but now they refuse to let anybody call it Armed Assault because that's a different game. So it's just Arma with two capital A's.
Nice.
I have no fucking clue.
We have the Bigs 2. Xbox 360, Wii, PSP, PS3, and PS2. Probably the best baseball choice you have if you're not playing on a Sony platform. Memento Mori for the PC. I also don't really know what that is.
BioShock. I think it's a point-and-click adventure.
Good thing I have you here, George. What else would I do? BioShock and the Elder Scrolls 4 Oblivion have been bundled for the 360 and PC.
Interesting bundle.
What I think is Sid the Dummy.
I don't know.
Well, it's for PC, PSP, Wii, and PS2. The Hardy Boys, a perfect crime for PC. Europa Universalis Rome Gold for PC. All right, that was exhilarating.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Bless
you.
Good way to end.
I don't want to end. I was having too much fun.
Climactic finish.
But we're there.
Dang it. All right. Well, thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel podcast, everybody. You can find out more about us at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com, as well as squadronofshame.com. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/explodingbarrel. You can contact me at tolkoto@squadronofshame.com.
Adjguy@squadronofshame.com.
Beige@squadronofshame.com.
I'm Regulus.
You're
at Squadron of Shame.
I believe you're Regulus.
Yeah. Okay, Regulus at SquadronofShame.com.
And since I don't have one, let's just say twitter.com/MJPLong.
I'm going to get all of the guys who are on the Exploding Barrel the last few weeks squad email addresses.
Woohoo!
It's like a little reward.
Also, the upcoming squad mission is Homeworld
for
the PC.
Now? I'm a little confused because are we doing that or are we?
There's some talk we might in the interim do a retrospective podcast on the Loom and Dig. Since we did those as missions before we were podcasting, and they're out on Steam now.
Right.
So we might go back.
I don't know whether we should just choose one. I'd vote for the Dig. But,
yeah, we're just going to pick one.
I guess we should throw that up.
You could throw the Loom
if we want to podcast on the 19th about Homeworld, I'm down for it. I just won't have it finished by then.
I think that's the consensus, is everyone's not done with it yet, so we might do the LucasArts one on the 19th
We shouldn't just bundle them up just because of LucasArts Adventure Games. Because they're very different. They have very different flavors to them.
We'll figure it out. There will be something.
Yeah, this is a...
So, yeah, we will record something on the 19th, whether it's... it'll be one of those three games.
Yes. All right. Sounds good. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. We hope you have a good week, and we'll see you next time right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast. Bye-bye.
Now, that's a good sign-off.
What is?
And we'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Yeah, I don't know why I never
you
went
finally
before,
did it.
I don't
good
know.
Job.
I still like Slam with the Best.
Yeah, you got to stick with that one.
What can I say?
Yeah, that is...
Slam with the Best here on the Exploding Barrel.
Wait, we need...
There it is.
We need to redo the podcast. I forgot to throw in my new catchphrase.
You have a catchphrase?
Yeah.
Suck it down, die katana?
Yeah, stay katana. I don't care how it's really pronounced.
Okay, we're done.
I don't care.